The words of James here in James chapter 3, verse 1, James says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." In his book, Lectures to My Students, Spurgeon unashamedly declares the following to those who aspired to be preachers and pastors, and I quote, "Do not enter the ministry if you can help it," was the deeply sage advice of a divine to one who sought his judgment. If any student in this room could be content to be a newspaper editor, or a grocer, or a farmer, or a doctor, or a lawyer, or a senator, or a king, in the name of heaven and earth, let him go his way. Unquote. In other words, Spurgeon did not view and present ministry as fun, stress-free, a career that anyone can pursue, but rather he presented ministry as a divine calling given by God Himself, in which qualified and faithful men are exhorted to give themselves wholly to studying and teaching God's holy word. While Spurgeon's words may come across harsh and uncaring to the average Christian, considered in the light of our text this evening, we will see that his words are filled with appropriate warning and also great wisdom. One of the greatest privileges this side of heaven, I would say, is to be a teacher of the truth of God. Yet it is true that the greatest privilege is also one of the gravest responsibilities this side of heaven, as the souls of men and women, boys and girls, are at stake. Tonight, with God's help, I want us to understand first the warning that is given. Second, the reason why this warning is given. And finally, I would like to persuade you with reasons why this truth is important for all of us to comprehend. Notice first the warning issue. James says, in this new topic given in James chapter 3, a topic that deals with the tongue, he starts with an area in the church where the tongue is much at work. It's behind the pulpit. It's within the synagogue. It's those who are teaching the truths of God. And he issues a warning here by saying, "My brethren, be not many masters." Now, the word masters here can be translated teachers, so that it might be more clearly read and understood by reading, "My brethren, be not many teachers." And the Apostle James, with these few words, says something so foreign to our modern Christian thinking that it should cause a little surprise in our minds and hearts. It should cause a little curiosity as to why he is saying what he is saying. James's words, as one preacher notes, is like a keynote speaker standing in front of thousands of young people who are wanting to devote themselves to the pastoral and missionary ministry. And it's like that keynote speaker saying, "I want to implore you not to become pastors and missionaries. Please, none of you go into full-time Christian service." Can you imagine going to a youth conference where the main speaker says that? James, with this brief warning, is seeking to shock his readers into reality. And he does this because he is concerned about what he is hearing and seeing among the church of Jesus Christ. You see, in James's day, there were many who had a word, many who were able to speak in the local synagogue. And the local synagogue was set up in such a way where if any had a word to speak, they could stand up and speak. And that's why we see Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul walking into the synagogue, opening up the scriptures and declaring that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Where did they declare that from? Well, they started back in the books of Moses. From Moses to all the prophets, they proclaimed that Jesus is the Christ. They had opportunity to speak. But James, seeing the error of this, that many were just speaking of their own whims and ways, many were standing up, voicing their opinion rather than the truth of God, seeks to throw in this grenade of truth by saying, "My brethren, be not many masters or teachers." And he is saying this because there are many among the flock of God who aspired to be teachers of God's word. There are many who were ambitious to have a position of authority within the church. There were many unqualified beginners in the faith that desired to be something great for God. So they appointed themselves to be teachers of God's word. And I wish, church family, I wish I could say that James's problem is foreign to our day. But I cannot. Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes that there is nothing new under the sun. The problem that existed in James's day is a problem that exists in our day. And may I say, especially in our Baptist circles. For a moment, let me explain what I mean. Let me explain the unfortunate way some, not all, but some men are called into the ministry. It starts very young in many youth camps. Junior camp boys are encouraged to participate in preaching competitions. As they preach, they are praised and puffed up, which leads them to think that preaching is a grand and wonderful thing which causes people to like them. Junior camp leads to senior camp, in which the same thing happens, but unlike junior camp, senior campers are encouraged to go to Bible college by the guest preacher and the supporting pastors, and they are encouraged to go to Bible college where they can learn to preach more effectively. So the student then goes to Bible college, takes a few classes, is strongly influenced to pastor a church or go onto the mission field. The student graduates, enters into the pastorate, while all the while having never been truly called to preach, having never truly been trained by the local church, never proven by older, God-fearing men in the church. The younger preacher becomes convinced that he is truly a preacher sent by God because he has his diploma, which says he has been properly trained to preach by professionals who are experts at their subject. Sometimes camp is not even in the picture at all. The teenager goes to a youth rally or Bible college function where the college strongly recommends every person to dedicate at least 1 year of their life to Bible college. And so they go, not really having any direction at all in their life. And as they are there, they are told in chapel, if you really want to do something great for God, if you really want to make a difference in your life, then go into full-time ministry. Tenderly, they yield to be a preacher, having been thrust in by the pressures of men rather than the Spirit of God. Now, that's not the case every time. Don't misunderstand me. But I can tell you that is the case a lot of the time. How do I know? Well, number one, I was a junior and senior camper. And number two, I was a camp counselor for many years. And number three, I was a Bible college student who had opportunity to ask others of their calling to the ministry. And many of them, sad to say, were mama called. Were daddy called, were pastor called, rather than God called. And the truth of that came out after they spent a couple years in Bible college and dropped out. They graduated and then had no desire to continue preaching or teaching God's word. Now, as I study the implications of this verse, James chapter 3, verse 1, as I consider the effects that such a philosophy causes upon people individually and Christianity as a whole, I am saying to myself now, if only more Christian camps and college speakers would preach James chapter 3, verse 1 in their messages. Now it's important to note that James is giving a warning. And we must not misunderstand him by thinking that he is suggesting that nobody should be a teacher. He is not suggesting that. And James is not seeking to eliminate the need for teachers in the church, and nor do we. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 12, that God himself blesses the church by giving the church qualified, apt teachers. The Bible says here, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, Peter speaks of the importance of the overseers feeding the flock of God. And how do they feed the flock of God? Not by an afternoon fellowship with physical food. No, they feed the flock of God by the truth of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God which proceedeth. 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, commonly referred to as the pastoral epistles, are given to leaders. They are instructions given to leaders of the local church. And throughout the letters, we see the great need for men to preach the word, to be instant, in season and out of season. We see Paul telling young Timothy, who is a preacher called of God, to teach wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. So James is not saying, well, the teacher has no business in the church. The church has no business for teachers. No, James knows that it's by the teaching of God's word that God works. It's by the teaching of God's word that sinners hear the gospel and they are able to be saved. It's through the teaching of God's word that Christians come and hear the truths of God, word by word, line by line, precept by precept, and they are urged by a teacher to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And he knows that this is the benefit for the sanctification of God's people. But what James is saying here is that sometimes those who aspire to be teachers have a great temptation. They have a great temptation merely to be a teacher just because they want to be seen and known of men. Now Jesus warns us of this. Do not your alms before men to be seen of them. When you fast, wash your face. Don't let others know that you're fasting. When you pray, don't go into the corners of the marketplace and lift up your voice to be seen of men. If you do so, you have your reward. James is knowledgeable of the temptation that some are merely teaching just because they want to be seen of men. Some are teaching because they have a platform to speak out their own thoughts rather than the truths of God. Some desire to be teachers because they hunger for a position and they hunger for authority. So James is warning others not to rush into the role of spiritual oversight. He is desiring men to examine their motives, to see why they truly want to teach. That's the warning issued. My brethren, be not many masters. But why does James give this warning? Why does he say this? Well, he tells us in the next part of the verse, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we who are teachers, shall receive the greater condemnation. James warns men not to rush into the teaching ministry because teachers will have a severer judgment. For those of us who are teachers, this is a weighty truth. Pastors, preachers, missionaries, overseers, having the influence to persuade others to truth or error, will be judged with a greater strictness. Teachers will be held accountable to live by the truth they teach, as well as being responsible not to lead people away from God's word with their own words. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, this is a verse that I tremble over. The Bible says here, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." The author of Hebrews says to pastors, to preachers here in this text, that we are to watch over the souls that have been given to our care, and we are to watch and to instruct, and we are to pray for them, because we will one day give an account. This is a very serious matter. And you might ask, well, what does this have to do with me personally? How does this truth apply to my life? You might step back and say, well, this is for preachers and teachers. I'm not a preacher and teacher, so what is the instruction here for me? Well, let me give you three things to consider in the light of this truth that we read in James chapter 3, verse 1. Let me give you application number one, and it is this: we must be careful not to assume that all Christian teachers are of God. Now again, in our politically correct society, that sounds really mean. But the Bible tells us that we must be discerning when we hear the truths of God proclaimed on the radio, on the TV, when we go to church. We must go with our thinking caps on, not assuming that everybody who holds a Bible, everybody who went through an ordination process, everybody who claims to be a preacher is a God-called preacher. And this passage is pressing us to be discerning in the teachers that we listen to. Now listen, while we cannot examine the motives of other teachers, we can examine their teaching, and we should. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." The Berean believers were commended for their hearing and examining the truths of God. They didn't just take what Paul said and run with it. No, they went back to the word of God. They allowed the word of God to be the final source of authority. Not Paul's words. Yes, Paul saw the risen Christ. Paul preached with power and authority. But they went back to the truth of God itself. And they were even discerning to the apostle of all apostles, to the greatest missionary who has ever lived, the apostle Paul. And we must be careful not to assume that all Christian teachers are of God. I could name many tonight. I could name many people who profess to be Christian teachers that I see lined up at the Christian bookstore, that I see when I have the opportunity to turn on the TV and watch all the televangelists. As we go out in the community, as we pass by buildings that call themselves Christian churches, and within those Christian churches, there are people who claim to be Christian teachers. We need not to assume that they are of God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, the disciple John says, "Beloved, Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Why? Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And do you know what one of the greatest deception Satan uses? When he sends teachers out, he sends them out as wolves in sheep's clothing. I mean, seems the way to distract, seems the way to pull people down. And so Satan transforms himself into an angel of light, a light. And even the Bible says his ministers are transformed into angels of light. So what does this teach us? My brethren, be not many masters. Well, James is teaching us this because there are some who by their personal self-will, their personal desire, they have called themselves into ministry. And they are teaching God's word, not having been called of God, not having been tested by the local church. And so we must now be careful and cautious what we give ourselves to in reading and to listening. Application number two. We must be careful not to praise all those who express interest in teaching God's word. I know these sound foreign, but these are oh so important. Too often young men are pushed into the ministry by well-meaning people. Too often we are quick to say amen to everyone who expresses interest in teaching God's word. We need to be careful and cautious as a church family. Should we ever come across anyone who aspires to preach or to pastor, listen, don't pat them on the back and say, you're going to be the best preacher. You're going to be the next Charles Spurgeon. You're going to be the next George Whitfield. You're going to be the next Jonathan Edwards. You're going to lead us in the third great awakening in this country of America. No, rather, you should pray for them. You should let the pastoral leadership and the mature elders of the church examine them and to wait and to see if it's truly of God or if it's of men. If it's of men, it will come to naught. But if it's of God, you cannot overthrow it. If it's of God, it will last. There will be a burning in the soul, a burning in the heart. And the one will say, like I said when I felt God calling me to preach, I can't imagine doing anything else other than preaching God's word and reaching others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think I would be unhappy. I think I would be unsatisfied doing anything else other than studying God's word and also teaching God's word in some manner. But there have been times I see young men, young teenagers praised up and down, drinking in the praise at a young age even. Yes, I'm going to be great. All these people love me. I have won all the preaching competitions. And eventually, if they're not called of God, the person becomes frustrated and confused. And the church becomes frustrated and confused. The church then looks back and say, I thought we had 10 people called to the ministry last year at summer camp. What happened? I thought over the last 10 years we had 50 people called to the mission field. What happened? Well, we either have to deduce that either they're being rebellious, and if they are, God is going to deal with them like he did with Jonah. Or they weren't truly called of God at all. They were self-called, self-appointed preachers. So be careful. We must be careful, and I am saying this so we can change the culture of how we do things in our Baptist circles. It is a heartache to many, and to many good friends who once thought they were called, many dear, close friends, confused because they were pressured and pressured and pressured. And can I say this, young people? If God wants you to be a trash man to the glory of God, be a trash man. If God wants you to be a mailman for the glory of God, be a mailman. You are not a second-class Christian if you don't preach and if you don't pastor and if you don't go to the mission field. We need more faithful lay men and women in the local church. And I'm looking around and I see faithful men and women of God, and you are out in the community. You are shining the light of the gospel, and you are being used of God in a great way. So never think that pastors and preachers are superior to the rest of the congregation, because it's certainly not true. And whatever you're doing now, do it all to the glory of God. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Trust that God will use you in the place that you are at right now. And young people, whatever God wants you to do, however God leads you, after you graduate, you may go to college, and God may put you in a certain career. Understand that God has put you there for a reason, and the primary reason is to glorify His name and to let others know about His name. Third application. Be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. What's the application? We must be careful of who we appoint as teachers in the local church. I'm just boiling this down, and I'm leaving the pulpit ministry, and I'm seeking to apply this to all ministries. This verse applies to all ministries in the church, where the Word of God is taught and represented. Listen, part of my philosophy, you will find out in the days to come if you have not already, is we should not just place anybody in any ministry position. In all of our ministries, we should seek to have members who are godly, humble, faithful, pure, and knowledgeable about God's truths. Why? Because they are leading others either to God or from God, not only by their teaching, but also by their example. This is important. In Romans chapter 2, Paul is calling out hypocrites in Romans chapter number 2. And he is calling out those who say one thing but do another. He says in Romans chapter 2, verse 21, "Thou therefore which teacheth another, teachest not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written." What a sad statement. Paul says those who are preaching one thing and not living that truth themselves are creating an opportunity for others to blaspheme God. And this is a sober responsibility. I'm personally convinced that if we do not have people who are godly, faithful, pure, humble, working in every ministry of our church, then we need to cut back until we do. And I do praise God for those who are faithful, for those seeking to walk with God and keep a pure testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen, what good will it do to run program after program with individuals who are living sloppy and are unfaithful to the church of God? Over time, it is going to hurt the individual serving who needs to be discipled, and it is going to hurt those attending because they are not seeing a godly influence in the ministries of our church. I have said it once, I'll say it again. Our life preaches louder than our words. We need to be convinced that the first way we teach the truth is by living the truth. Parents, let me encourage you. Live the truth before your children. You can tell them to love Jesus all you want, but if they see you living contrary to the Word of God, it's going to damage them. And this is a sober responsibility, isn't it, parents? Why? Because we are frail, we are weak, we are men. And we have a flesh that we battle against. We have an enemy that we battle against. And there are times where we don't act godly before the eyes of our children. But praise God for 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You remember Jesus in John chapter 3 goes to Nicodemus. Nicodemus is supposed to be a ruler of the Jews, a teacher of God's law. Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night, and Jesus asks Nicodemus questions. After Nicodemus asks him questions, and the question that Jesus asked to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus asks, well, how can a man enter into the kingdom of God? Jesus says, you must be born again. Well, how can I go into my mother's womb the second time and be born again? No, Nicodemus, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. And Jesus then says, aren't you a teacher of the law? Don't you understand these things? Now, why does Jesus do that? Nicodemus has been a hypocrite. Nicodemus has been a lost man teaching the truths of God. And as a lost man, imagine how he has led others astray. Could it be there are some here tonight who are still lost but are teaching the truths of God? May it not be so. May your hearts know Christ personally. May you know the gospel before preaching the gospel. When we see the warning issued, my brethren, be not many masters. The reason given, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. And we pull three applications for us to consider. We must be careful not to assume that all Christian teachers are of God. We must be careful not to praise all those who experience interest in teaching God's Word. And we must be careful of who we appoint as teachers in the local church. Young people, desiring to give your life to the teaching of God's Word, remember, do not enter ministry if you can help it. Church family, see the temptation many have to appoint themselves into the office of a teacher. And as you remember this verse, come alongside them and help them in a biblical manner. God has given us this truth not only to learn from, but also to put into practice. Where? In the ministry of the local church. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation.